First John chapter 2, verse 15. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. I recently listened to a podcast on which they posed the following question. They didn't fully answer the question in the podcast, now that I think about it, but they posed it at the beginning, and it's an interesting question to think about. Would Jesus be on TikTok? Would Jesus, if Jesus were on earth physically today, would he be on TikTok? Now, there's going to be a variety of reactions to that question in this room. Some of you are going to say, of course he would not be on TikTok. He didn't have time for that. He has more important things to do. Others of you would say, maybe, but I doubt it. I'm not sure. Others of you would say, I don't actually care about TikTok or who is on it or not on it. And then others of you are sitting and thinking, what's TikTok? And there's space for that here too. That's fine. But broader, just if Jesus was physically on earth in 2025 right now, how would he view and use the various kinds of media and technology that we have around us? It's not my main goal to answer that exact question today. But I am praying that the Lord would use the truth of his word to make us all think, to think carefully, to think critically, because I think we all have questions that come to our minds when we think about the various kinds of technology and media we use and experience on a daily basis. And even if you would not consider yourself a Christian or you're just not sure what to think about the Bible, we all have questions that fit in this category a little bit. Not an exhaustive list, but questions like, how do I know if I'm spending too much time on my phone or on the streaming platform or whatever it is? And also, just as a personal aside here, why do I always get a screen time notification on Sunday morning? As I'm trying to like get ready for church, I don't need that on Sunday morning. I'm trying to turn it off. So if you can help me with that, let me know. That'd be great. But how do I know if I'm spending too much time on my phone? Your phone tells you how much time you spend on your phone. What effect is this having on me? To watch these things, to scroll these things, to interact this way online. What effect is this having on my kids? Is this stuff all bad? Is this stuff all good? Or is it a mix of some kind? And oftentimes, when we think about questions like these, we don't actually want real answers to them, because sometimes real answers to questions like that will cause us to have to change. And a lot of us, myself included, in certain ways with this, I don't want to change. But as we continue this Trends and Truth series that we're doing through the month of June, where we've been looking at different trends in our culture today and how the theology and truth of the Bible intersects with those, we've looked at things like just truth itself, and then mental health and mental illness. Last week, we looked at generations. Today, we're looking at the trend of media and technology. And I don't just mean social media, more than that, because you and I are surrounded by all kinds of media and technology every day, from TV to music to streaming platforms to podcasts to video games to texting, all of it. It's the world we live in. It's the air we breathe, maybe just in different ways. And I understand ahead of time as we step into this, it is really easy, and maybe what you predict if you're coming in to church for the first time or the first time in a while, it is very easy to think, well, he's just going to stand up there and just rail on technology for 30 minutes, and then we're going to go home. Well, that's just kind of cheap. And it might sound good, and it might get an amen from a couple people, but it's not really what the Word of God does. It's not really, and it's definitely not my goal today, because the Lord gives us more than that in his Word. So what I would like for us to do is, while a lot, not all, but a lot of media and a lot of technology is meant to distract our attention and make us mindless, like check out in some ways, I want to encourage us with these things to be mindful, to be thoughtful, for us to pay attention in the middle of a culture that's asking us to surrender our attention, but to pay attention to how we're doing this. So we're going to use these three verses from 1 John, short little verses, and I just want to give us two questions to consider from these verses. And I can't answer these questions for you, but it is my prayer that God, through his word, would guide you to see some answers here and what it says about your own heart and soul, and ultimately to help us all look to the Lord in the middle of it. So the two questions are this, and I'll explain them as we go, but the two questions that we're going to consider today is, how is your intake shaping what you love? And then how is your intake shaping where you look? And what I mean by intake, I know it's kind of a weird word that we don't use a lot, but I'm just grabbing that little word as a summary word for what you watch or listen to or download or stream or any of that. It's that word represents all of it. So how is your intake shaping what you love? And how is your intake shaping where you look? So let's start with the first question. How does your intake of media and technology shape what you love? And the reason I use the word love is because that concept comes straight from the command that God gives us in verse 15 of 1 John chapter 2. Let's look back there again together, and you'll see this very clear command in the very beginning, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. That's the command. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Now, if you are like me in any sense here, it's easy to hear that and immediately push back and want to put some disclaimers around it because it seems to contradict other verses in the Bible. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, same John in 1 John, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world. And then John says here, don't love the world or the things in the world. And we say as a church all the time that as a church, we want to be a church who makes disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? Well, someone who's growing in their love for God, their love for his people, the church, and their love for the world. So who's wrong? Somebody's wrong. Somebody's contradicting someone here. Well, actually, I think in the letter of 1 John, the phrase the world does not mean people. It does not mean everything in the culture. It refers to, as you look throughout this short little letter, it refers to the way of life that rebels against God. The world means the values and habits that don't align with God and his word. And it's comprehensive. The command is don't love the world or the things in the world. That pretty much covers everything. So he's saying don't love the values and habits that don't align with God and his word. Now in this command, what John is doing is he's addressing just the basic orientation of my life and your life. And you see this in the second part of verse 15, right after the command, he says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So he's not saying don't love people, but rather he's saying don't center your life around anything that is not centered on the Lord. Don't fill your attention with anything that will distract your attention from the Lord. You can love the world, or you can love the Lord, but you can't love both. There's not room in your heart for both. Your heart can't hold on to both. Now, the command like this can sound kind of grumpy. I recognize that. That it can sound like, yeah, that's the kind of thing I would expect someone like you to get up on a platform and say during a sermon, don't love the world, it's all bad. But that's why it's really important to keep God's word connected to God's character. We have to keep the two together. From almost the very beginning, from Genesis chapter 3 on, Satan has been trying to get us to separate God's word from God's character. And we see commands like this, the same thing is happening. This command does not come from a God who doesn't want you to enjoy your life. This command does not come from a God who just wrote some book that's stuck in some ancient time that's not relevant at all for our world today. When God gives us commands and warnings like this, they are actually expressions of his mercy. And they are actually expressions of his wisdom. They're given for our good. They're not given to take away our joy. They're actually given to guard our joy and show us where true joy comes from. To guard our hope and show us where true hope comes from. They're given to protect us from sin and its decaying and corroding effects on our hearts and on our lives. Because this command is not just mainly about outward behavior. Maybe you've heard it applied that way. Don't love the world, so don't dress this way and don't listen to this and don't watch this and don't do this. And we could prescribe today specific actions about media and technology, but that's not enough. And if all we walk away here is just one specific action step, it likely won't last if we don't hear and experience the heart behind the command, the motivation behind the command. Our outward actions and our habits, they're important, especially when it comes to media and technology. But they're actually just expressions of what's going on in our hearts. It's not the full story. This is why, after John gives this command, he takes the conversation inward. He takes it inside of us, into the desires and motivations of our hearts. And in doing so, he explains the why behind this command. He doesn't just say, don't love the world or things in the world. All right, next thing. He explains the why. Why should we not love the world? Why is that a problem? Why is that a big deal? Here's the why. He starts it in verse 16. Because all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. So when he says at the beginning of verse 16, all that is in the world, it's referring to those heart-level impulses that determine how we live, the value systems that exist around us that want to guide and steer our hearts away from the Lord. And he gives these examples. He lists off these three things: desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and pride of life. Desires of the flesh are those physical desires, even God-given desires originally, that we express in a self-centered way. That we express in a way that turns our back on the Lord and just makes it about us. Again, God-given desires that are meant to be good, but that because of the sin in our hearts and the sin in the world, we twist the desires to make them not about the Lord and make them about ourselves. That's desires of the flesh. Desires of the eyes. The way I would explain that is it's wanting something you see without thinking about whether it's good for your soul or not. You see it, it looks good, it seems good, but you're not thinking about how your attention is captured by this outward display of it without really thinking about the value of it, good or bad. Desires of the eyes. And lastly, pride of life. A simple way to explain that would just be you're puffed up because of your stuff, or you're puffed up because of your status. You're puffed up because of your reputation or your accomplishments or your success in this world. And what John says in the second half of verse 16 is that all of those things are not from the Father, but they're from the world. Meaning, if you are a child of God because you've been rescued by Jesus, your life is not to be guided by those desires because they don't match who your Father is and how he's called you to live. They don't match the character of God. Actually, they contradict it. And although, as followers of Jesus, you and I still live in the world, this is not a sermon about, hey, let's all just go live in the woods over here next to the church and not ever watch TV or listen to music or do anything with electronics or media or technology. We still live in the world. We do. But our impulses and our desires for how to live in the world come from our Father in heaven, not from the world. Why Jesus said that fairly well-known saying of being in the world but not of the world. So this is why I ask the question, how does your intake of those things shape what you love? We are not to love the world because all of us live according to what we love. the decisions I made this past week and the way I spent my time and the way I used media and technology, and same for you, were all shaped by what I ultimately love and what you ultimately love. And if we live according to the impulses and desires and loves of the world, it will draw our love away from our Heavenly Father who saved us. This is why he says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father, the love for the Father is not in him. So what does this have to do with media and technology? Well, whether you and I realize it or not, every choice we make every day in every category, but especially when it comes to the categories of media and technology, is a choice between love for the Lord or love for the world. Now that sounds a little oversimplified, but I don't mean that if you pulled up whatever streaming platform you have and you chose to watch a Christian movie instead of a non-Christian movie, you are doing this the right way. But again, those things can be great, but that's not where this is going exactly. It's ultimately about why am I watching or scrolling or doing what I'm doing? What does that say about me, and what effect is that having on me and my heart? And it's important to evaluate the impulses you and I are following when we scroll or stream or watch or listen. What does your regular media intake lead you to love? Another way I would ask it is this. After you finish scrolling through social media, and you realize it had been 2 hours, and you're just sitting there, not even knowing what you were doing originally. But after you finish scrolling through social media or watching that news program or listening to that podcast, what does it leave your heart wanting more of? Does it leave you wanting to love what God loves? Or does it leave you wanting what the world loves? After you finish doing those things or in the middle of doing those things, if you just stopped and immediately just read a verse in your Bible, would that feel like, oh, I don't really want that right now? Or yes, I want what the Lord wants. Pay attention to what you're wanting when you're using these things and doing these things, and evaluate your habits accordingly. Because all of our habits are forming our hearts. So how are your habits forming your heart when it comes to technology and social media or media in general? We also ask ourselves these kinds of questions and evaluate together. Who am I showing love for and how I use these things? Who am I showing love for and how I interact with other people on these things? Who or what am I displaying as the center of my life in how I use these things and how often I use these things? A constant intake of breaking news or reels or memes or the latest controversy will not stir love for the Lord in our hearts. It doesn't mean we have to ban it all from our lives, but it does mean we engage it thoughtfully, wanting my love for the world to decrease and my love for the Lord to increase. How does your intake shape what you love? Second question. How does your intake shape where you look? Shape where you look. And when I say look, I mean the direction your life is moving, the focus of your mind and heart. That's what I mean by look, not just physically look, but there's a connection between what our eyes physically see and what our heart is chasing after and sees. In the final verse of this little paragraph here, John gives us another reason why we should not center our lives around anything that will distract us from the Lord. And that comes in verse 17. This is another reason to obey the command he gave us in verse 15. Verse 17 says this, "And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." So if the command is don't love the world or the things in the world, well, why? Why should I not do that? Well, the answer to that in verse 17 is because the world and its desires don't last. But God and his ways last forever. In the previous verse, as we just saw, John listed out those three examples of desires that rule the way of the world. And then in the very next verse, he tells us the world and those desires are not permanent. So the Lord wants this verse to lead us to question the very roots of the reigning values of our culture. The kinds of desires advertised by media and technology of the world are not based on reality. They're not based on what's ultimate. They're not based on what lasts. They're not based on what will continue on forever. And where most media directs my attention and your attention is just offer after offer after offer of a short-sighted life. You can think about it this way. For kids and teenagers in the room, why do you get, and don't answer this out loud because we might not have time to hash all the family dynamics, okay? So just think to yourself. But why do you get embarrassed when your parents reference something that was popular in their day? Or why do you get embarrassed when your parents reference something that was popular 2 years ago or 2 months ago? Well, because a lot of times those things aren't cool anymore. They're not popular anymore. It changes so fast. And so it's just off-putting and weird when your parents are trying to act like they used to know something about what was cool because they don't seem to know that anymore, right? And you're, from your perspective, I think your parents are cool and you should too. But it's constantly changing. Those fads are constantly coming and going. And it's just a small picture, a very small light picture that what the world has to offer is temporary. The things that seem to be right and important and valuable in the desires of the world do not last. They change all the time. But what God has to offer is eternal. It's forever. It never ends. One author said, when it comes to these kinds of things and these desires of the world in a passage like this, he said, often we have living affections to dying things. That there's no future in trends. It's the very definition of a trend. It's not something that lasts forever. It changes, it morphs, it shifts, it rises and falls. And so if for you and I to give our life to something that's gonna change, John says, that's not worth it because it doesn't last. It's not eternal. But hear carefully that these verses are not just some kind of do not enter sign. They're not just a no, 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 don't that just leave us unsure of where to go. Okay, you've told me what not to do, but what am I supposed to do? Well, John's turning us away from something in order to turn us to something. And the thing he turns us to comes at the very end of verse 17 that we just saw. The world is passing away along with its desires, and here's what he's turning us to. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. When you and I, by the grace of God, resist the pull of the world's desires and align our lives with the love of God, we are aligning our lives with something that truly lasts, with someone that truly lasts. The world and its desires will fade away, but the will of God is never ending. And this is the kind of anchor point I need and you need. Verse 17 might sound like a disconnected verse from reality, but it's actually the verse you and I need every moment of reality in this world on this earth. Because we need it every time a video or image comes across the screen and it seems to say otherwise. That it's about what makes you happy now or what feels good now or what's successful now or what's popular now. And God's word speaks into that and says, actually, what's real is what lasts. And what lasts is knowing and following me and doing my will. The impulses and values of the world will not satisfy our hearts because they fade away. But knowing and obeying the Lord will lead to everlasting joy And as soon as you and I leave this place this morning, that's not going to seem true. But we have to anchor ourselves to the Word of God and what it says. So the encouragement here when it comes to media and technology is to view and use media and technology in light of eternity. That's why I said, how does your intake shape where you look? Because you can use it in a way that makes you only see the present, or you can use it in a way that makes you see the present in light of eternity. Many of you have heard of social media platforms like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. But how many of you have heard of social media platforms, if that's what they could have been called, like AOL Instant Messenger, MySpace, Vine? Some of you are chuckling because you know those things are old and no one uses them anymore, because they were really popular at a time and then just faded away. And now no one uses them, they don't even operate anymore. And so what I'm trying to say is things that are media and technology right now might seem like the next great thing or the biggest deal or the most valuable thing, but there's gonna be a time too where they faded away and they don't last. So when you see content that glamorizes the world's desires and makes obedience to God look boring and lame, remind yourself that whoever does the will of God abides forever. When you see a news update that makes a current event look big and God look small, remind yourself that whoever does the will of God abides forever. When you want to leave that snarky comment about some hot button issue and that jab at that other person online, remind yourself, whoever does the will of God abides forever. I shared this with you a couple years ago, but I had forgotten it. So if I forgot it, I was assuming you forgot it. But there's an author by the name of Tony Renke, and he wrote this great little book. It's a little older now, but it still has a lot of timeless, really helpful things on it. It's called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. It's a really, really good book. But in that book, he suggests that on a regular basis, as we often, many of us have our phones out for different reasons, he suggests on a regular basis, we take our phones, set them down, and hold our hand up like this. And as we hold our hand up like this, imagine the timeline of history reaching a mile that direction and the timeline of eternity reaching miles in that direction. And then realize and think that our time on earth is roughly the distance from our thumb to our pinky in light of eternity. And he says, when you put your phone down and do that, nothing will put technology and media in perspective like seeing your own life and yourself in light of eternity. So I'm not giving you this exact next step or specific step, but I would just encourage all of us to do that today when you get home. Kids, you might walk in the living room and your mom or dad's just sitting there like this. This is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. But to think about your life, if this is my life, and eternity goes all the way that direction, then all the way that direction, how do I want to use this life and specifically media and technology in light of that? No one gets to the end of their life and thinks, man, I wish I would have been on social media more. I wish I would have finished that show on Netflix. Really hate that I didn't get to finish that. I wish I would have finished that podcast. Like no one thinks that. You know what they do think about? The things that last and the things that are permanent. They think about people. They think about relationships. And I've seen a number of people, they begin to think about the Lord in a way they never have before. Why not do that now? Why not think about that way now? You know, I don't know if Jesus would be on TikTok. I really don't. I don't have an answer to that question. Just like the podcast I listened to did not have an answer to that question. But I do think we can all look at this together and see that how we use media and technology, it doesn't just shape us, it also reveals ourselves to us. The fact that our hearts cling to various kinds of media shows that we're all searching for something lasting, and we're all searching for something satisfying to attach ourselves to. And when you get likes or you get followers, you finish a good show, you beat a video game level, you keep scrolling, but it never feels like enough. It always feels like you want more. And we are surrounded by entertainment and connections, yet we're often still bored. Why? Well, because those things don't ultimately satisfy you, because those things don't ultimately last. That's why I love this quote from an author. His name is Michael Reeves. He says, "Boredom is God's way of saying, only I can satisfy." So when you find yourself bored, sit in that moment for a second. Don't immediately pull up your phone or turn on the TV or whatever it may be, text somebody. Sit in that and let that be a reminder to all of us. Only God can satisfy. That trends cannot fill the void in the human heart. You and I were created to know the joy and satisfaction of a relationship with our Creator. And He sent His Son to die on a cross and rise again to bring us into that relationship. And so we crowd out misguided love and we crowd out short-sighted living by filling our thoughts and filling our affections with the grace and glory of God revealed at the cross of Jesus. That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." The song we just sang, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face." What happens when you do that? Well, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I'm not sure if Jesus would be on TikTok or not, but He did seem to value the things that were unchanging and the things that are eternal. So let us direct our focus from what's always changing to the things that never change, and use and view and interact with the things that always change in light of the things that never change, so that we will love the Lord more, experience His love for us more, and look and live for what lasts forever. Let's pray together.